would, to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis and chapter number 1. You might say, Pastor, don't you remember you just preached from Genesis chapter 1? Yes, I do remember. I'm not that far gone yet. I did say yet, didn't I? But I want to continue on. Last time I preached from Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and we talked about God's creation. This morning I want to move on, and I want us to pick up down in verse number 26. You'll notice we're not going from verse to verse to verse. It's not intended to be a Bible study, but I want to pick up in verse 26, and we'll read two verses this morning. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26 and verse 27. I encourage you to follow along in your Bible as I read aloud Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse number 26. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. I want to preach a message this morning I've entitled, When God Made Man. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, we thank You for this opportunity on this Sunday morning to fellowship, to sing, to pray, to give. And Father, now to receive. To receive from You that which You have for us, for our hearts this morning. God, I am always in awe when I stand behind this pulpit of the awesome responsibility that is mine. Father, to teach, to preach, to communicate Your Word. And Father, I can never feel worthy of that task. And yet this morning, Father, we come to a subject, to a matter that is necessary for our ears to hear. And so I pray that, Father, through the simplicity of Your Word, through the clearness of its directive, that, Father, we might understand the ageless truth of the Word of God about the origin of man. Speak to our hearts, cement our faith in the Word of God, confirm it to us. Lord, help us to stand upon it in the midst of opposition and a society that is so far departed from Your Word. Feed us from Your Word, we pray. Speak to hearts. God, though the message this morning is not particularly a salvation message, we do pray that should there be one in our midst today that has never committed their heart and life to Jesus Christ, never received Him as Savior, that, Father, You would help that lonely soul this morning to find out what it's like to be part of the family of God. The Lord, to draw them to Yourself, to make Yourself evident to them that Your death on Calvary's cross was for the forgiveness of their sins, that they might have everlasting life. Speak to hearts in a way that only You can. And for that, we'll give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. When I preached 2 weeks ago from Genesis chapter 1, we noticed in chapter 1 that the emphasis in this first chapter was God's creation. What He did on the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. And then on the seventh day, He rested. We did not go into a lot of detail on those 7 days, but just establish the fact that it was God that created those things. But I want to clarify something this morning. The main subject, the primary focus of Genesis chapter 1 is not creation, but God. Look with me, if you would, back at the earlier verses of Genesis, just briefly. And we did cover a couple of these things last week. But notice, it says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God does not argue His existence. God does not debate His existence. God does not even attempt to give evidence or proof of His existence. He simply states it. And that's all that God has to do. No one needs to have proof. No one needs to debate or argue it with Him. God simply states, In the beginning, God. And the Bible tells us twice in the book of Psalms that the fool has said in his heart, There is no God. So when a person rejects the first words of the first book of the Bible, they are rejecting God, and they, according to Scripture, are a fool. In the beginning, God created. You'll notice the phrase, we mentioned it last week in verse number 3, and God said. In verse number 6, and God said. In verse number 9, and God said. In verse number 11, and God said. In verse 14, and God said. 10 times in this chapter, the Bible tells us, and God said. It simply states that God spoke, and when He spoke, these things came into existence. When He divided the waters above the firmament from the waters below the firmament, it did not take any activity of His hands. It did not take any labor to do that. He simply spoke and it happened. When He created the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that in them is, when He did that, He did not do it by the works of His hands. Now the Bible says He created the stars with His finger. He just kind of waved His finger out there and there they were. But He did not form or fashion any of that. He simply spoke it into existence. Science today tries to make attempts to imitate God, trying to create life in a petri dish, trying to show that they can do what we claim God did. But they have to do it with hours and thousands of hours of labor and work and hands-on. God simply spoke, and it came into existence. Again, God does not try to defend His creation theory, if we want to call it that. He simply states it, and it says, and God said. We saw another phrase that was there, and that is, and God saw. Notice in verse number 4. And God saw. The end of verse 10. And God saw. The end of verse 18. And God saw. We'll not look at all of those, but just the emphasis. Seven times it says, and God saw. God said 10 times, God saw 7 times. It's establishing a basic truth, and that is that God is, and that God sees, and that God says. If there were no God, there'd be no God to say, there'd be no God to see, He would not be, but He simply states, I am. And it says, and God saw. 4 times in this chapter, beginning in verse number 1, it says, God created. Now I'm building one thing upon the other. God said 10 times. God saw 4 times. God created. In this opening chapter of the Bible, 4 times it says, and God created. Verse number 1. Verse number 24. And God created great... verse 21, excuse me. And God created great whales. Verse number 27, which we read, says 2 times in this verse, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. God saw, God said, God created. 3 times in the chapter it says, and God made. Verse number 7, and God made the firmament. Verse number 16, and God made 2 great lights. Verse number 25, and God made the beast of the earth after His kind. Preacher, what are you trying to tell us? God is. He opens the very first book in the Bible by simply establishing His existence. Again, He does not argue it, He does not debate it, and I would recommend, I know there's a lot of fellows, there are guys that are specialists in arguing the creation and all that, and I guess there's a niche for that, I guess there's a need for that in certain places, but all I know is this, God did not try to prove it. God did not try to go to scientific theories to show that He exists. He simply stated that He is, that He saw, that He said, that He created, that He made. God is the focus of Genesis chapter 1. And to not believe in that God is foolish. And to not desire to know that God, folks, is equally as foolish. A book that opens with a God that can be known and a God that can be a God that loves and a God that can be experienced is a God that we should seek after, not just for salvation, but for the rest of our life. And when we put anything else before that God, that is idolatry. Some folks think idolatry is simply bowing down to a statue, bowing down to an idol. That's not idolatry. Idolatry is putting anything before God. And we are filled with idols. America is filled with idols, putting things before God, living from day to day without any thought for God, without any consciousness of God, without any consideration of God. God establishes in His first book of 66, the first page of approximately 1500, God establishes that He is, and that He is intimately involved with mankind. So much so that we read in verse number 26 that God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Now the thing that we've looked at so far, and here's a very important truth to understand. God saw. God said. God created. God made. When we read that title, God, we are thinking in the singular. We're thinking of one God, because there is only one God. Jesus said, "There is one Lord, and to love Him with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy might is the great commandment." There is one God. So when we read the word God in our Bible, we're reading about one who is singular. He is God. Beside me, He said in Isaiah, beside me there is no God. It's a singular entity. But all of a sudden, in verse number 26, we read these words. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Now, you know the words "us" and "our" are not singular. He didn't say, "I will make man in my own image." He said, "Let us make man in our own image." He's gone all of a sudden in this chapter that's focusing on God in the singular. He's gone from God in the singular to God in the plural. Let us make man in our own image. Now we know by the rest of the Bible that God is not many gods. He is only one God. And yet He says, "Let us make man in our own image." He introduces to us a new truth. That God, though He is one, is more than one. This is something that our human mind cannot comprehend. And if you and I hold God responsible to only believing about Him that which we understand and comprehend, we're making and creating a God instead of God creating us. We believe Him even when we can't comprehend it. God is one God, and you know this, I'm preaching to the choir. Well, not really, but I'm preaching to the choir. God is one God, but He's one God in three persons. He is the Father, He is the Son, and He is the Holy Ghost. This is a basic truth that's not introduced to us in the Gospels or the New Testament, not introduced to us in the Psalms or in the prophets, but it's introduced to us in the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter of the first book of the Bible. Let us make man in our own image. God was not talking to the angels who had already been created. He's not speaking to the angels that were in heaven. He's not speaking to the great whales that He just made earlier that day, or the fowl of the air that He made. He's not speaking to them. He's talking to a heavenly entity and saying to that Godhead, "Let us make man in our own image." I have 3 points this morning in my message, and that brings me to the first one, that when God created us, He created us by divine design. We were made in His image by divine design. God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost. We'll not take the time to run the references through that. That's a different study for a different time. But God is a triunity. There are three persons in one God. They are not in order from higher to lower. They are all equal in Godhead. And yet at the same time, they have specific jobs, responsibilities, or tasks. We could put it in our in our human understanding. God is the Father. The Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost is that third person, and even that word kind of designates Him as third on the ladder in the order we put them in. But they are one. They are one in the Godhead. There are many that deny that. There are many that question that. But again, God is just simply establishing it as to be true. The greatest verse on that, so we'll just turn to one. We'll go all the way to the end of the Bible, from the beginning of the Bible. But not Revelation. But go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. Here is the greatest verse on that triunity in all the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 7. If you had no other verse, if you didn't have Matthew chapter 28, if you didn't have Matthew chapter 3, Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 3, if you didn't have all the other texts that taught about the three in one, this would suffice. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. You got it? 1 John 5, 7. For there are three, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John. I hope you're there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, capital W, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Those three, all capitalized, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, are in heaven. And the Bible says at the end of verse 7, these three are one. These three are one. The Father, the Son, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Not one in purpose, not one in essence, one in person. They are one in person. Now I know we have a problem understanding that. We use human explanations or illustrations for it, which are fine, but they're not completely accurate. A couple of weeks ago, I was hauling a bunch of lumber, a bunch of logs in my backyard. And I've got a trailer that my kids bought me for my birthday a few years ago that hooks up to my mower. And I hooked that trailer up and I went back and I picked these logs up and I threw them in there and put them in there, not even thinking twice about weight load or anything like that. And I put these logs into that trailer, and right then my son Robert showed up with two of the grandkids, so I drove straight up to the house in that trailer, or on the lawnmower, and took that trailer up there. And when I got up and parked it and I looked, the tire had exploded. All right, I'd put too much weight apparently in that thing, and so the tire was just, it was flat, it was off the rim, it was in bad shape. I didn't notice it coming up through the grass and the lawn, but I got there and I looked at it. Well, I took the time to have to take that off of there and look at it. And you know what I found? I found on that tire that there was the rubber outside tire, which was fine. Nothing punctured it. It didn't blow. It didn't pop. Nothing was wrong with that. But inside of it was the inner tube that's inside there. And the inner tube, the stem that sticks out of the inner tube, the stem had blown completely out of that rubber tube and was inside that tube. The stem was inside there. It had just... That weight had just blown that thing straight out. And so I have a tire that's flat. So I took it up to Buckeye Tire, took it up there, and they put a new tube in it. And now I have a good outside rubber tire, and I have an inside inner tube, and now it's full of air. I have three tires. No, I have one tire. But that one tire requires three different things to operate. It requires three different things to function. There's the rubber tire on the outside, there's the tube inside, and then there's the air that goes inside the tube. And if you're lacking any one of those three, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to carry on. You've got to have all three. Now that is a human illustration, which is very feeble in trying to describe the Godhead. But God is much like that. It's not, here's the Father, here's the Son, and here's the Holy Ghost, and there's three gods. No, they make one God. And the Bible tells us, look at verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our own image. So if God is a tripartite being, and He made us in His image, then you folks, each one of you, each one of us, is a tripartite being. We are made in the image of God. He is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You and I are body, soul, and spirit. We are made that way by divine design. Look over in Genesis chapter 2. If you're back there in chapter 1, look over to chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. Here, God kind of recaps in chapter 2 how He made man. And can I say this? There is no description of how He made the whales. There's no description of how He made the fowl. And when I read it, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures." It seems to me that almost with, even with the whales and the and all the other animals, that God just simply spoke them into existence. The one that is particular about all God's creation, the one that is different, is mankind. Made distinctively different from every one of God's other creations. That being said, that means we are not a higher life form of one of other God's creations. We are made by divine design. Now, I don't want to hurt your feelings, Aaron, but Zoe is not made by divine design. Picking on her dog right now, all right? Our dogs, our cats, our cattle, our mice, I don't know, whatever it is, all these other things, they're not made by divine design like God made man. He spoke, and the earth brought forth living creatures. But God tells us, takes the time to show us the design in making man. Chapter 2, verse number 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." There's how God made man. By the work of His hands. Something different from the rest of His creation. He went down there to the garden and He formed, as it were, a sandcastle. But He made it out of red-brown clay. But He formed the image of a man. Just as man appears right now. It was not a primitive form of man. It was not a Neanderthal man or a Cro-Magnon man. It was man as we know him right now. God formed him 6,000 years ago right there in the garden by His own hands. And once He formed that body, He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life, that's His spirit, and man became a living soul. So you and I are made in the image of God. Turn, if you would, over to the New Testament to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me give you again just one verse as biblical indication or truth about man being a tripartite being just like God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. Here the Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Thessalonica, said in verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you," set you apart, separate you, "sanctify you wholly. And I pray God," notice what he says, "I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you notice the three parts of man in verse 23? Body, soul, and spirit. We are made in the image of God. The psalmist said it. We'll not turn there, but you can make reference and you know the verse. Psalm 139 and verse number 14. The psalmist said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Oh, when God designed man there in that garden and he made that image out of that that red-brown clay and breathed into him the breath of life and made man, he made such a complex thing. And he did it so simply. I know we've said it before, but you go to the foot doctor and you see on the wall all the intricate parts of the foot and all the veins and the tendons and the bones and the structure and all that on there. And look at that and say, there is no possible way that all happened by way of evolution. Then you go to another doctor and it's the urinary tract doctor, and you see your system and then our digestive system and all these other parts of your body and the ridiculousness of thinking that all these things accidentally happened and evolved to where there was a divine creator who made us by divine design. It's so much simpler and so much calmer just to believe the Word of God. And yet we live in a day where the Word of God's under attack. And if, folks, can I be honest? If you don't get this stuff in church, you ain't going to get it. Excuse my grammar. But if you don't get this in church, you're not going to get it. Where else are you going to get this? Unless you purposely go looking for it. Looking for it on the internet or something teaching creationism or something like that. But in our society as a whole today, and it's subtle, it's underneath the surface, it's behind the scenes, they're presenting things. You turn on the Animal Planet channel, and it's fun watching because all these animals, and they're beautiful, and you like watching all this stuff, and the Nature channel, and all that kind of stuff. But they're slipping in that this came from 5 billion years ago, and slowly developed to what it is right now, and they're slipping it in the back door all the time. When it came to mankind, it's divine design. God made man in His own image. You know what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Kind of interesting words, aren't they? Fearfully and wonderfully. I understand wonderfully. But you know why we're fearfully made? Because we're made in the image of God. You know who God is? He's eternal. Can I tell you this right now? You are eternal. You're made in the image of God. Your body, soul, and spirit will never die. And you say, wait a minute, preacher. No, hear me out. We know our soul's going to live forever, right? Our spirit lives forever. Many times folks get spirit and soul mixed up because in the Bible it talks about both of them being eternal. Well, that's because both of them are. Your spirit is your persona, your personality, as it were. We're all different one from another. And those two parts of us, our body will, our soul and our spirit will live forever. And so will our body. Now, it's going to be changed. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to put on immortality. But this body, though it gets buried in the ground, is going to be resurrected. And it's going to live eternally also in one of two places. Either in heaven, if you're saved, or in hell, if you're lost. But you are going to live throughout all eternity. Where the smoke arises forever and ever. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's going to be eternal. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Be careful what you do in this body. Be careful what you do to this body. Be careful what you do with this body. Because it belongs to God. And one day He's going to reclaim it. We are made by divine design. Number two, go back to Genesis chapter 1. Verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over all the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man has dominion over the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in His own image, divine design. In the image of God created them. Notice, male and female created He them. Not only did God create us by divine design, but He created us with definite differences. Definite differences. In chapter 2, verse number 7, we read about the creation of Adam. And the Lord God formed out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's the creation of mankind as a race. It was the creation of one man in particular, and we know him as Adam. And had God never repeated that process, it would have been Adam and Adam alone for all eternity. But God said it's not good for man to be alone, and thank God God noticed that. It is not good for man to be alone. So I will make for him a helpmeet. Jump down there to Genesis chapter 2. When it says, male and female created he them. I like this story. In verse 18, we'll start in verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Man, Adam had to be an intelligent guy. He named all the animals. These animals that we have names of now, we didn't originate them. Adam did. He named all the animals. And Adam gave names to all cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. You know what that tells me? That when Adam was naming the animals, he was naming them by twos. Kind of like Noah took them into the ark. He was naming them by twos. There's two zebras. There's two giraffes. Because then it became obvious, wait a minute, Lord, there's only one me. Now, most of us still live that way. There's only one me. But God looked upon Adam and said, he needs a helpmeet. He needs a second. He needs someone to complement him. I don't mean compliment him verbally, but I mean complement his existence. We can take it that way too, Tom, if we want to. We need him to complement us. All right? So God made them differently. So what did God do in verse number 21 of chapter 2? And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman and brought her unto the man. Can I just simply point this out? And this is a challenge to me, and this was my prayer during this week. I don't want to run ragged and wild on the philosophy of our world right now that is so confused and living in such chaos. And it's not we can make fun of it and we can have humor at it, but at the same time, it is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking that our modern society is teaching our young people that there is no difference between male and female. And that you can choose which one you are, and there's no biological difference, and no pre-birth condition or difference or all that stuff. And all that is just non-scientific and obviously non-biblical nonsense. And you know where you're going to hear that? Here in church. Because you're not going to hear it anywhere else. Our young people are under such pressure today in their school systems. And you say, oh, you're talking about Columbus, Cincinnati. No, I'm talking about here at home. I'm talking about peer pressure and pressure put on those. And usually it's the most susceptible among the young people that are being pressured into questioning their gender and questioning this. And again, I just want to simply say, can you understand that when God created male and female, He created them with definite differences? Even their creation, Adam was made as he was formed in the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Then later Eve was made by putting him to sleep and taking a rib. They were formed differently. And so even today, men and women physically are different. It's a simple truth. They're different. They're not the same. I read an article recently where the brains of young boys and young girls do not develop the same. The brains of young babies and young boys and young girls do not develop the same. That's a scientific truth. But that doesn't surprise me in the least. I watch the kids out here in the lobby. I watch Lorelai and Leo. And Lorelai's out there just jabbering away. I mean, you give her anything, she's talking. You give something to Leo, you know what it is? Vroom! You know what it is? Our vocabularies, and they've proven this, the vocabulary of young people are different. Our brains develop at different times and different parts. And you have to be so biased to deny that. You put two kids in the same room and the boys and the girls act so differently. My grandkids were down. We've got the two little kittens we got. And Hannah, my granddaughter, is 2 years old, I think. She loves that kitten. She smothers that kitten to death. Wants to carry it all day long, hold it all day long. Just love it and hang on to it. Ben, My 7-year-old grandson, he wants to do everything he can to ruin Hannah's love of that kitty. He's out there letting it out, trying to chase it away, doing everything to break it. That's the difference between boys and girls. And that's a natural thing. And somebody says, well, they're pre-programmed by society. These kids are too young to be pre-programmed by anything. Now, I insisted I wasn't going to get off on that track. But can we just establish this fact that we're different? That God made male and female, and thank God He did. Man, what a world this would be if it was all men. There would be no world if this was all men. That's for sure. Men do not have wombs. Men cannot conceive. Men cannot give birth. Men cannot nurse. If it was a man's world, no man would have a child. There's just no way. And that's not the only thing. And when you say things like that, people jump on you for that and say, well, you think that? No, that's not the only thing. I am so thankful that God made us male and female. Made in the image of God. Made like God, eternal in body, soul, and spirit. But I'm thankful He made us differently. I'm thankful we're not the same. They keep trying to make it the same, and one of the big scientific differences is, or evidence of proof, is our bone structure is not the same. And you can't change that. No amount of surgeries and shots and all that, our chromosomes are different, everything. God did that on purpose, because He wanted there to be male and female. And so going back to the first book of the Bible, and the first chapter in the first book of the Bible, we understand that we were made with definite differences physically, anatomically, emotionally. We are different. We handle things differently. We look at things differently. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this, the late Adrian Rogers, so you can get mad at him, but he said this. He said, men tend to approach problems head first, women heart first. And I don't know if you agree with that or not. I look at my relationship with my wife and I say, that's exactly it. I look at things kind of cold. I look at things just the facts. She looks at them emotionally from the heart. And thank God, my kids are sure glad. And there's a lot of times I go home and I'm talking about things that happened this or that, and my reaction is harsh, and she softens it. She softens my reaction. I need that. I need that. He said, you look at the big, men tend to look at the big picture, women look at the details. I'd like to say I'm thankful for that too. And women, you are very good at details. That I almost said wedding shower. That baby shower that happened Tuesday night was an indication that women are very detail-oriented. Men are just like, get her done. Women are, so what about this, and what about this, and what about that, and what about that? And don't we need that to work it, make it work together? Don't we need that? Thank God it's that way. Thank God He foresaw it and did it that way. He said, men tend to be success-oriented and women seem to be security-oriented. Want someone to take care of them and provide for them. That's not a bad thing. And men are more success-oriented. Their value seems to come with how successful they are, things like that. He said, men tend to be insensitive. I'm offended by that. I would be, but I'm insensitive, so it doesn't really matter. Men tend to be insensitive and women are sensitive, and that goes again with the head and the heart. All we're saying is simply this. There are definite differences between male and female, and thank God they are, and how sad it is to live in a world that wants to eliminate those differences. And it started back in the 60s with the women's lib movement and equality, and again, there you open up a can of worms there. I never said they were not equal intellectually. Did you catch that? I never said that. Okay. I want to make sure I clarify that one. All right? But there are differences, definite differences between the two, designed by God, and thank God for it. Why? Because of point number three. I'm glad you asked. Point number one, God made us by divine design. Point number two, God made us with definite differences. Point number three, God made us, created us for dual dependence. For dual dependence. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. There are not too many single young fellows that say, why not? I'd rather be alone the rest of my life. Most of us recognize it's not good for a man to be alone. So I will make a helpmeet for him. You know what helpmeet is? It's not servant. It's not housemaid. It's helpmeet. He said, and the two shall be one. You know, in God's triunity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, there's no distinction between the three. In God's creation, between man and woman, there are differences, but not distinctions. We are dual dependent upon one another. Look over there in chapter 2, verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. God said that. It's not good that the man should be alone. He'll get in trouble. He'll make a mess out of things. He'll move by his insensitivity and move by his head and not pay attention to detail. He'll just make a mess out of the whole thing. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Dual dependence. God created us, male and female, number one, for companionship. He made them male and female for companionship. I don't know about you, but my goal when I'm in my 90s, first my goal is to get to my 90s, is to sit on the front porch in my rocking chair with my wife next to me. Now the old timers would say picking green beans. Well, no, we're not going to do that. We'll be eating Doritos and drinking Coca-Cola. Hey, it's my goal, not yours. But sitting on the porch with my wife of so many years and just enjoying that time, I like that companionship. I like going home and finding my wife there and having that companionship. I enjoy the evenings that we can spend together. I enjoy a little bit the empty nest syndrome now, where her and I all day long get to go wherever we want to and do whatever we want to and don't have to check on anybody else to see what they're doing. It's just the two of us. I like that companionship. Now, young couples, let me tell you this. I know it's rough. I've raised 8 of them, I know. I know it's rough when you're in those young years to get that companionship thing down because you don't get a lot of time for each other. But can I tell you, it's coming. And it'll be worth the wait. God made us for dual companionship, and thank God for that. It's not good that man should be alone. I'll make a help me for him. Number two, he created male and female for cooperation. I will make a help meet for him. Someone that we can work together with. And again, that shows the balance of marriage. Some folks get that off skew. Some things get that unclear. I am the head of my home. I can say that because my wife's not here right now. No, I am the head of my... I am the head of my home. And I'm the head of my home because my wife allows me to be. And you might think that's funny, but I've seen some homes where the woman does not allow the man to be the head of the home. And that's a chaotic home. That is not a properly functioning home. That is a home that if there's children in it, those children are going to grow up askew because the pattern is not the way it ought to be. God did make the man first and the woman second, and He gives us the design about responsibility to God and children, all that kind of stuff. That's not part of this sermon right now. But there is an order for it and all that. Not saying one is greater than the other, but He gave us for cooperation. Working together, raising family together, providing for needs together. He gave us that for cooperation one with another. And thank God for that. Thirdly, and I'll not elaborate, He made them male and female for continuation. If Adam would have been left alone, there would have been no Cain and Abel, no Seth, no Enos, no Mahalalel, no Methuselah, no Noah, There'd have been nobody else that would have been up to Adam just by himself. There'd have been nothing done. But God made it and said, therefore shall a man cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And the Bible blesses them, and they bring forth children. And there's a continuation. And we'll not elaborate, but men can't do that. And I have no doubt that science is going to try to find a way. I have no doubt they're going to try to find a way, because that's just how they're... And when I say science, when a preacher says science, we think, well, we're spitting when we say it, and we're degrading. Science is a wonderful thing, and it has brought... The reason we have cell phones is because of science. The reason we have automobiles is because of science. We've discovered things and designed things and invented things. It's not that. But the Bible talks about science falsely so called. And those that are geared toward trying to use science to overthrow the Bible and disprove the Bible will go to any extent to try to do that. And there's no doubt as they're trying to create life in a dish and all that, they are someday going to try to put a womb in a man and get them pregnant or whatever and have them... It's no doubt they'll try that. But God figured out a better way 6,000 years ago. He made them male and female. And they're there for continuation. And then lastly, under dual dependence, number 4, not only companionship, cooperation, continuation, but completion. God made them male and female for completion. And they twain shall be one flesh. It completes us. It makes us whole. Now, life throws us many twists and turns along the way, and I know we find ourselves in different situations and different regards and different things like that. But as a whole, as an overall view, an overall picture, God has designed us male and female for those very things: companionship, cooperation, continuation, and completion. When I come to church on a Sunday morning and my wife's not with me, I don't feel complete. I feel a little bit off. Something's just not right. It's just that it's that completion that God gave us by that union of marriage. Folks, can I simply say this? God begins in His first book in the Bible to set the groundwork for the future generations and for the rest of earthly life. And it's sad to say that our modern society, and it's not just our modern society, it's been going on for 50, 60 years and probably more than that if we had the knowledge of it and could see it from a better light. We are trying to destroy everything that God established instead of just following what God established. When you follow what God has established, you have peace. You have joy. You have fulfillment. When you try to go against what God has established, you have chaos. You have anger. You have animosity. And we live in a violent and chaotic world simply because folks do not want to submit to God and acknowledge Him for who He is and what He's done. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And on the sixth day, He made man in His own image. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our